Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program here. If you want to join the show, you can do that. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, mortgage rates could be hitting 8% soon. We can talk about that, but there's something that happened a little more close to home that I thought was worthy of discussion. With you here tonight, it's Ian.
And Jay Noon.
And Jay has been in the studio with us telling us the ridiculous story over the last several months, most of a year, that has happened to his family with the ongoing attack by the people calling themselves the Division of Children and Families, Children, Youth, and Families here in New Hampshire, and also the Concord Police Department bringing criminal charges, or a criminal count, against his wife, Shallon, for the dastardly crime, which, in my opinion, was not a crime, and there was a whole courtroom of people that agreed with you and I on this, Jay. Lots of friends packed the court for the trial that happened a couple months ago.
Yep.
The idea of leaving a two-year-old strapped into a car seat in a car with climate control turned on what was a nice day anyway in New Hampshire.
Like, in March.
I think it was like 65, 70 degrees or something. It was an unseasonably warm day for March. And leaving the child there asleep in the car, again strapped in, as Shallon put it at her sentencing hearing today, which we do have video of, I just haven't gotten it online yet. She put it in at her hearing for the sentencing today. She said, you know, I know my child. I know their sleep patterns, their sleep schedule. I know when to, you know, when I can walk away and when not. Because, you know, I think she also pointed out that in a parent's life, there are times, especially as children get older, that they are left alone. And you guys don't sleep in the same bed with your kids. Most people would find that kind of weird after a certain point. So, you know, when your kids are asleep at night, you're not in the same room, right?
Nope. Yeah, they got their own bed.
And most people wouldn't think that's like an abandonment problem or negligence, child negligence or whatever the charge was. What was the exact charge?
Child endangerment.
Child endangerment. Which, by the way, the police officer that they had, the one cop that they called to the trial to testify, admitted under your cross-examination, because you were able to represent your wife in court, he admitted that there was no endangering going on, that there was
right.
no danger that this child could face. But then he started to just cook up all these different things that could have happened. You know, like a meteor could have struck the car out of the sky or, you know, whatever. Just ridiculous theories. He didn't actually use that one, but the things he was bringing up were pretty outrageous, pretty ridiculous. You know, this two-year-old that's strapped into the car seat's going to put the car in gear and all of a sudden, you know, pull out and crash the car.
My favorite is when he said choke on a pacifier. And I said, are you aware that pacifiers are engineered and designed size specifically so children cannot choke on them? And he's like, no.
Nope.
But he don't have any kids. He don't know.
That's why he didn't know that, right?
The judge doesn't even have any kids, best I can tell.
Nope, doesn't seem like it.
The prosecutor didn't have any kids. The social workers didn't have any biological children from DCYF.
But yet they're all telling you guys how you should be raising your children.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And so, unfortunately, you did not prevail at the bench trial, and Shallon was found guilty of this ridiculous charge. Today was the sentencing day, and the sentence could have been worse. It was a Class A misdemeanor count, which in New Hampshire can get you up to a year in jail, and I believe like $1,100 or $1,200 in fines, somewhere in that range. And there was no fine issued. The prosecution asked for 10 classes, parenting classes, and the judge did decline to order the parenting classes, claiming that the criminal record was enough punishment to deter so-called future, you know, potential issues.
Yeah.
And he did sentence her to 45 days in jail suspended, which means that she doesn't actually have to go to jail. It means that the 45 days will not be imposed upon her unless she's arrested for something else within the next year. So basically, she has to be on quote-unquote good behavior for 1 year's time, and then the 45 days will go away. It will no longer be hanging over her head, so to speak. So that was the result today, and of course, some of the theory was that the judge went light on the sentence. Number one, of course, because she has absolutely no criminal record whatsoever. But number two, because they really don't want you guys to appeal this thing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And you are intending to appeal it because, thankfully, they charged it as a Class A. Had they charged it as a Class B misdemeanor, there would be no appeal to a jury available. It would have to, if you're going to appeal it, it would have to go straight to the Supreme Court. But now, because it's a Class A instead of a Class B, she can appeal to what they call a de novo trial. And then that in Latin, I believe, means from the beginning. And so what that means is that you get another crack at the apple or a bite at the apple. You get to go to Superior Court. You get to pick a jury. You get to present the case. The state has to present the case again. That means they got to call back all the witnesses that they called in. And it wasn't just a cop in this case. They had at least three sort of lay witnesses, people who were in the parking lot at the time, including one woman who was the initial call to the police, who, as we learned later on, and this will be interesting information to have when you're actually cross-examining her
right.
This time around, is that, because you didn't know it at the time, but research was done into this woman who complained, and it turns out she just so happens to work for the county prosecutor's office.
Same prosecutor's office has prosecuted all kinds of free staters.
Yeah.
Prosecuted, you know, like Pamela and Tyler Workman, who mm-hmm. were Rochelle Kelly's accomplices in the letting the kids play at the playground during
right.
during the scamdemic
crime.
And, you know, those guys were all found not guilty. And mm-hmm. actually, Tyler Workman filed a complaint with the Concord Chief of Police against the officers that, you know, that the officer brought the warrant against him.
Nowhere.
And he got a no trespassing order filed against him from the Concord Police.
Wow.
Then you have the
classy.
You got the New Hampshire Noble Nine, a bunch of people who were charged with disorderly conduct based. I can tell. And
I think that was the state police who prosecuted that one. So it may have been a different prosecutor.
They're all good buddies.
Sure. They
all work
course.
With each other. You know,
I heard one time, Jay, years ago, that there was a contest between government bureaucracies and government agents to see who could arrest the most free staters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard that rumor. I don't know if it's true.
They
had a game that they would play, and you would earn points for different things that you could do or get away with the free staters.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, I believed it. So today, again, was just kind of a necessary procedure in order to get to the next step. Because, again, this particular sentence is not being imposed, even if it was actual jail time, even if Shallon was sentenced to go to jail for the 45 days without it being suspended, I'm pretty sure she still would have walked out of there because she still has the right to appeal. And they would likely not incarcerate her on that. But, again, it was suspended anyway, so it doesn't really matter. So the next step is you will likely be getting in touch with the Superior Court. They will schedule a hearing there, and then you're going to get to pick a jury, and the whole thing starts.
Well, there's going to be a handful of hearings happening. You know,
of course,
we're
going to
do a
pre-trial conference, motion to dismiss.
You're challenging the jurisdiction of the court.
Right.
We're going to do a motion to dismiss hearing. I'm going to need very exact and precise discovery. I mean, we're going to need to have all of the conversations that the police officers had about this.
You mean the people calling in from?
Well, no, I mean like when the cop who
in the office,
like the cop who wrote the warrant,
mm-hmm.
who did the application for warrant. Justin D. Gellico.
Now, that's not the one they called to the stand.
Right, because anybody who read this warrant, you know, I can't believe this warrant even got a signature on it. I mean, another guy who needs to be investigated is, you know, the Justice of the Peace of the State of New Hampshire who basically signed off on this warrant.
Mm-hmm.
It says right in the warrant, I'm going to read
this.
This
is an arrest warrant.
This is an arrest warrant that was issued immediately after the the DCYF case in family court, Hillsborough Family Court, Hillsborough, New Hampshire. The chief of police did the motion to intervene. I read his affidavit on a show here about a month or so ago, 6 weeks ago, and he did a motion to intervene to vacate this contempt order that they wanted to put against us because these social workers lied. And in this, and the chief of police told these social workers and family court on multiple occasions there is no neglect, there is no abuse. I've met with the family, the kids are clean, you know, all this stuff. He knows.
Were you talking about subpoenaing him?
Yes. Oh, he's definitely going to be subpoenaed to the next one. They're going to, I'm sure they're going to fight that he doesn't become a witness because they don't want him there. And,
of course not.
One little quote from this warrant. So this is a warrant application, paragraph 5. Mm-hmm. At the time, Officer Bilodeau and I did not see the daughter in any type of imminent danger and thought Shallon was able to take care of her. While I was next to Shallon, she opened a driver's side door, and I was able to feel a cold breeze from inside the vehicle. So this is a line out of this...
In the warrant application.
In the warrant application.
Amazing.
And it is amazing that it went
anywhere,
any further after that. And so I had a talk with a state representative today on the phone for a while, and we talked, and we were started talking about the pay that these social workers get. So I have a whole list of social workers that were interacted with the Henniker PD that I got, you know, from the a rights to know request, because I got a whole bunch of emails. And we started looking up these social workers' pay. You can do that. I think it's gencourt.mobile or gen.courtmobile. It's a New Hampshire NHL.
Gencourtmobile.com, I think.
Something like that, yeah. Gencourt.mobile.com. Okay.
Gencourtmobile.com.
Anyways, the
payments.
The salary of these social workers, the supervisor social worker, made like $100,000+, like $104,000 or $108,000.
Wow.
I don't know
if it was
2021 or 2022. But like 45,000 of it was like overtime. So like 40,000 of it was overtime, 5,000 was like holiday pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some other little pay bracket thing. That one wasn't too much, wasn't a lot of money. But like J.R. Hull, who's now a state representative, he's a guy where DCYF, you know, got an order to just remove his kids from his home because he'd given him ivermectin months before.
Mm-hmm.
And, and it's like, what is wrong with these people? Are they just like watching, you know, CNN, and did they read the garbage Rolling Stone report that people were in the ER in some hospital in Oklahoma overwhelming the hospital for taking ivermectin, which was just a total false reporting.
Mm-hmm.
J.R. Hull, he's talking, he's on one of these committees in the state, state house talk that it has to do with funding DCYF. And he's just like, you know, it's insane the amount of money they're asking for now. They're asking for overtime pay, like $500,000 worth of overtime pay for these guys before, you know, they even have done the overtime. Because these social workers are getting paid all this overtime. And they're getting all these benefits. And, of course, they can't do – it doesn't matter if they do anything wrong because they're just totally 100% covered and qualified with the qualified immunity stuff. Mm-hmm. So they can do whatever they want because nobody's ever stayed after school. The only people in DCYF, it seems, that get fired or anything happens to it are ones that are actually caught with child porn or they're in videos, you know, molesting children or like, you know, doing or raping children, there's a couple of teenagers who were raped not long ago, by the husband of a social worker that, you know, was a foster, you know, parent also.
The only solution here is to abolish them entirely.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not to cut their pay.
Yep.
It's not to cut the staff. It's not to, you know, whittle around with the, you know, try to reduce the regulations or whatever. It's to cut it out entirely. You got a cancer, you get rid of that thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and you know, the thing is just what my case in general, I can tell you that they have just in all their emails and all their correspondence, they spent a significant amount of time on my case.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are just raking in the dough with the overtime. And
there's probably some actual parents abusing kids in New Hampshire, but they're spending time on you guys.
There is so many reports of people that have are like calling DCYF, they're calling the police. Hey, these kids, you know, smell like, you know, feces and urine. The people in school are like, oh, the kids haven't ate, and you know, the kids say they're, you know, don't have any food at home. And this was happening right in Henniker, the same exact time that they were very interested in my family, who my kids are, you know, well fed, well clothed, well behaved. And they're, you know, good, healthy kids, and they, you know, but they're also those kind of kids are the ones that are, valuable to adopt out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the people in DCYF, you know, these social workers, I'm hearing some chatter and seeing some things where these guys are involved in, you know, adoption agencies. So all these adoption agencies have social workers, you know, working in them or doing something with them because stuff doesn't get improved unless it goes through a social worker. And these social workers have no oath of office. They don't have any insurance, bonding insurance, according to the documents, supposedly. But they might. I don't know. I mean, these guys lie about everything. You know, it's a thing. So you really don't know. Even their public records request, they just lie. So they ended up, you know, they're just, they're a massive liability. And there's probably hundreds of thousands of dollars just in pay to the social workers and the lawyers, because there's several lawyers involved in this. Mm-hmm. And never mind all of the hours of the police. And then you got the hour, you know, Henniker police, you got the hours of, you know, these, you know, what's it cost to run that courtroom we were in today? Right. You know, what's that prosecutor get paid? You know, what's that judge get paid? You know, the prosecutor today had a bodyguard with him because, you know,
sure looked that way.
You know, there was a cop in there with him and just there's so many hours. And then my time, they took so much time away from. Well, I care about it.
I know you do.
They took. So and that's why
you're
I told
not
them,
getting paid.
No, I'm not getting
they
paid.
Are.
And I will be demanding $50,000 an hour from you guys. I already sent them one invoice a long time ago, well over a year ago. You know, the DCYF. And, yeah, so it's just, it's an entire garbage system. This thing could have been put to a stop at any point along the way by almost, you know, by any of these characters, you know, that have their signature on these documents.
Yeah, and you guys actually asked the judge today, the man in the robe there in the room, he gave him the chance. Shallon addressed him directly and said, you know, you could put a stop to this. You have the opportunity to avoid wasting anyone else's time, because now you guys are going to have to spend hours and hours and hours preparing for another trial, which will likely be even, you know, longer, because you guys have more plans this time around. You learned how to do it better the second time out, so you're going to put a little more effort in. But that's time that's taken away from your family. That's time that you could otherwise be out working on the farm with the kids, which you guys love to do.
But it's time I could be teaching kids, you know, how to build their confidence with my man camp curriculum. You know, that a lot of that.
Well, this will just have to be a new man camp curriculum, how to go to court with confidence.
You know, everybody by the time they're 18 years old as an adult really knows how to needs to know how to deal to government.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that, you know, are, you know, I've lived their entire, you know, adult life, and, you know, in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and they're terrified to deal with the government.
And then all of a sudden they're in court. We actually just read last night the story about the Kansas newspaper, a real small town, I think it was Marion, Kansas, where they actually raided the newspaper's offices on Friday, and the people that run this newspaper, I mean, it's a newspaper, they're elderly. The guy that runs thing is 69 years old. His mom, who was still alive on Friday, 98 years old, died the next day. She could not handle the stress, the difficulty of going through a raid, which is an incredibly stressful thing to go through. And she was 98 years old. She died the following day after this. It's absolutely ridiculous. And now, a few days later, the prosecution is saying, oh, yeah, that raid doesn't look like it was legal. There was no legal nexus. So just go ahead and give all the stuff back. Well, you can get your stuff back, but you can't get your mom back, who passed away. So it's just an example of how hard people take their first encounter with the police. I mean, for most people, it's just you get pulled over and you get a ticket. But even that is an adrenaline-pumping kind of encounter, I think,
for a lot
of people.
Yeah, you're under attack. You know, I would almost rather have a bunch of, you know, Latin kings walk up to me with, you know, clubs, you know, to my truck.
Well, you could defend yourself in that case.
Then blue lights flashing in the rear view.
I mean, the adrenaline pumps for people, not because you're doing something wrong, but because, you know, this psychopath that's walking up to your car could very well kill you.
and
over this.
And he's got blanket qualified immunity.
Right. So he'll be protected from whatever kind of violence he decides to ensue. If he doesn't ensue direct violence against you, then you just lucked out. You got a less insane psychopath for the moment who just wrote you a ticket, and now you're going to be forced to go into the court system. So, I mean, having been to so many different court hearings, I don't even know how many hundreds and hundreds of court hearings I've probably been to and arraignments and things like that. As you may or may not know, Jay, I for many times have given out flyers in yep. these courtrooms and outside of courtrooms all around New Hampshire, focusing mostly on this area, the Keene area of New Hampshire, which are all about not just jury nullification. We have those flyers, but we also have flyers about not taking a plea deal. And the reason is because people just do not understand this system that they are forced into. And it is a scary system. I have heard from many people who are going into court of all ages, you know, people in their 20s, 40s, 50s, and up, people who have said to me, this is my first time here. I am scared. I don't know what I'm doing. Thank you so much for this information, because they have no one with them. There's no one helping them. There's no expertise that they can turn to. I mean, the average person can't afford to bring an attorney on. If you get a ticket for having an open container of alcohol as you're walking down the street in Keene, New Hampshire, or something like that, that ticket's only going to cost, you know, to pay $150 or whatever it is, right? Like, it's just to sit down with the lawyer for an hour, you're going to have to pay $200.
And you can't even do that. All these lawyers I've called and talked to, hey, I'd like to, you know, go over some mm-hmm. stuff with you. Can I just hire you for your hourly rate for, like, you know, an afternoon for 4 hours, 5 hours. I don't do things like that. I won't even talk.
Wow.
I won't even talk to you about it. And these are like lawyers that like people have recommended to me.
Damn.
You know, oh, this guy's a good guy. Check him out. I'm like, dude, your guy's not a good guy. He's not even interested. You know, he's just raking it in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lawyers are like car mechanics too. They can just pick and choose what they want to take for cases because they're so busy.
Well, here's another
one. So much litigation
for you, because I know you've been bending the ear of a state representative or two. What about abolishing the rule that says you have to be a bar-accredited attorney in order to, quote-unquote, practice law in New Hampshire?
Yeah, that would be, I mean, yeah, that and the prosecutors should be barred from bringing any case forward unless there is an actual injured party, property
that'd be nice.
Damage, or there's an allegation of a violation of a legal right.
That would be amazing to pass that one.
That would be like, that would take care of so much stuff.
I like it. Yeah, if you haven't made a note about that one, definitely do it. The number here, if you want to join the show, if you want to comment on all this, the number is 603-283-6160. We can talk about some economic news, which ain't looking good, but that's on the way here as well. 603-283-6160. If you could change the court system, what would you do? I would love to hear your ideas. 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News. News update. In the headlines, more grim news this hour out of Maui, where additional bodies have been found. As of this hour, 111 people recovered, more than 1,000 people still missing. San Diego prepping for bad weather over the weekend. Hilary churning right now off the coast of Mexico. It is expected to weaken a bit as it heads towards Southern California. New economic data out today.
Weekly jobless claims are down. The Department of Labor says initial requests for unemployment benefits came in at 239,000 for the week ending August 12th, which is a decrease of 11,000 from the previous week. Inflation continues to be high. The Consumer Price Index measures the change in prices paid by U.S. consumers over time. Prices have grown 17% since 2020, with energy prices the most volatile. I'm Lance Pry.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. What do you want to talk about? How to fix a terrible court system. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Dash is digital cash. It is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. And there aren't a lot of cryptos that are focusing on that. Dash has been around for a very, very long time. They are one of the original cryptos, one of the first, I think, 15 cryptocurrencies that ever came into existence. Now there are 10,000 plus cryptos out there. So Dash has a long history of focusing on the issue of being actually useful in the marketplace to buy and sell things. And in fact, Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. In fact, way less than 1 cent. You compare that to Bitcoin's transaction fees, which are typically these days in the dollar range. On your median transaction. Last time I looked, it was like $2 on average. So, you know, if you actually want to use cryptocurrency as a currency, check out Dash. Their transactions are instant, they're irreversible, and they're protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. They've also got the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. Yeah, that's right. They did that first. And Dash has been around for a long time. As I said, it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month. to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. We're talking about the nightmarish court system, which, unfortunately, Jay, your family is being forced into right now by the Concord police prosecution who came after your wife for child endangerment, which is a total BS
endangering
charge.
The welfare of a child.
Yeah, and in order to prove this charge, there's a certain terminology that you guys brought up in court. I didn't make a note of exactly what it was, but it was this sort of vague standard of, you know, whether or not the child was endangered. Do you remember what the phrase was? It was like this vague thing they had to prove.
Something of duty.
Yeah, duty of care.
Duty of care, yes.
That was it. So if you had abandoned your so-called duty of care and that they could prove that beyond a reasonable doubt, then guilty and sentenced. And today the sentence was handed down in a case involving your wife stepping into a TJ Maxx, I think it was, for a few moments while leaving the child in the car, strapped into a car seat, 2 years old, child was asleep. Only woke up because the police knocked on the car window.
Right.
She probably would have slept all the way through your wife's visit to the TJ Maxx, and then everything would have been fine, but no. Some local busybody who just so happens to work for the police prosecutors or the county prosecutor's office saw your car, probably noticed the freedom-friendly bumper stickers.
Yep, that's what I believe.
Yep, and then decided to call the cops, and now you guys have been drug around through this system for, what, over a year?
Oh, yeah, well over a year.
It's year and a half?
Yeah, March of 2022.
And now you're going to have to go to an appeal to a jury trial, and you know, that is what brought us into this discussion about getting rid of the Department of Children and Families, getting the system changed so people can... Well, first of all, so I think you made a great suggestion, so the only prosecution that can happen is where there's an actual identifiable victim, someone who was harmed or their property was harmed in some way, shape, or form by the person that they're coming after.
And this would include contract violations. So this would include shoplifting, you know, motor vehicle accidents, you know, if you damage someone's property.
Theft and destruction, absolutely.
Any kind of assault and batteries against people. And, you know, it's becoming sort of, you know, the thing the past several years. We see a lot of these cities like San Francisco melting down because they're literally not prosecuting people for shoplifting. But, you know, they're going after Elon Musk for not having a permit for changing his sign on the side of a building he has in San Francisco.
They sure are.
But, you know, they're not going after the people shoplifting and the mass, you know, what do they call it when they have like 50 people, you know, ransack a store. There's just nothing going on about it, and they're just allowed to get away with it.
Yeah, I think that's a really great idea to mandate there be a victim, because there's so many police resources that are focused on victimless crimes, and this is one way that you could just cut off the head of things like the war on drugs and the war on, you know, prostitution or gambling or whatever other things that they're going after out there, even speeding tickets. Again, no victim, no crime. Now, of course, it's not going to be easy to get something like that through, but it may actually be easier to push something like that idea through than the idea of just ending the war on drugs. There may be less pushback against the idea of, let's have a victim here. Why shouldn't every crime charged have an actual victim that has to get called to the stand in a trial and testify?
And the thing is,
unless they're dead.
You know, and... You know, there really kind of has to be that, but the problem is this system has gotten so corrupt that, you know, that no judges are being sanctioned, no lawyers and prosecutors are losing their jobs.
They would sanction themselves, and they're not going to do that.
Right, and you know, the system is absolutely corrupt. So, and what would be another thing is, you know, if the legislature, if, you know, especially with a lot of the Democrats in the legislature, you know, there is a lot of people that the Democrats, you know, sort of side with or take the side of. That's what started this defund the police thing on a Democrat side. And, you know, they're not, you know, and that's a lot of the reason.
Yeah, but they didn't really mean it.
No, they didn't really mean it, probably. But in New Hampshire, it's a little different than, like, California or mm-hmm. New York State when it comes to the legislature, because in New Hampshire's got so many legislators. There's 400 of them. They're only paid $100 a year. And there's only 3-something million population in New Hampshire to where, like, you know, New York State has, you know, I don't know, 50 million people or something. I don't even know how many people there is. But
whatever it is, it's a lot more.
But they have very little legislative representatives. So when it comes to lobbying, like, so the pharmaceutical companies, the, you know, the prison industrial complex, the, you know, the, what are they, you know, whatever it is, these guys are able to easily lobby a handful of representatives to enforce their will on a lot of people, to where that doesn't really exist in New Hampshire. I think New Hampshire has the greatest representative count to population in the
United States. The largest number of representatives, period. And if you do it by population, it is, you know, I mean, it's incredible, right? Like, it's 3,500 people or less per representative district. I mean, that is very, very small. Whereas, like, for instance, you mentioned New York, compared to 150 state, what they call assembly members. This is the same thing as a state representative there. And the population of New York, I'll have to look up. I don't have that in front of me at the moment, but it's a hell of a lot more. So you're probably looking at, you know, tens of thousands, if not 100,000 plus people per district.
So if you're going to do this kind of thing, New Hampshire is the place to do it, you know, just because of that. Mm-hmm. So if we can get the legislature to act and be like, hey, stop wasting money. And where it's going to come from is basically just, you know, people that are sick. I have a friend, a local, a guy's been, you know, he's in his 60s. He's had a business in, you know, Ware, New Hampshire for a very long time. He pays an insane amount of business taxes and property taxes. And he is just so irate that things like this case is going on and just burning all kinds of dollars that he is forced to pay for. And he's also got a grandson that's had a DCYF issue because the father of the grandson is a guy who goes hunting and he traps, you know, coyotes and, like, you know, things like that, and fisher cats that are, you know, just wreaking havoc and, you know, all over the place and, you know, killing livestock and people's birds and, you know, people's pets, you know, birds, I mean, chickens and stuff, but, you know, and there's just too many, there's way too many coyotes, you know, in a lot of these woods around, you know, central New Hampshire. And anyways, so this particular guy takes his son doing that with him in a big, you know, DCYF investigation into him and this, that, and the other thing. And just, you know, teaching, that guy's just teaching his kid, you know, basically hunting skills and trapping skills.
Do these people know where they live? I mean, these bureaucrats, they live in New Hampshire where guns have been part and parcel of people's upbringing here for generations. And they're trying to change that.
The problem is all these social workers, best I can tell, and most of these government employees, they're, you know, that do these kind of jobs, so all the social workers, just like all the school teachers, they're all Democrats. They're all registered Democrats. They all donate to the Democratic Party. So they're what I call the parasite class.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So they work in government. Now, all government employees technically would be parasites because they all work for this stolen money. You know,
sure.
It's money that, you know, nobody really volunteers to pay taxes. Everybody does under threat, duress, and coercion. That's really the bottom line. And
well, maybe some people would volunteer if it was actually voluntary. If they were actually providing a service that was worthy of giving money for. Like, you know, we've talked about some of the services should probably stick around, like paving the roads you know, clearing the roads, but bureaucracy like DCYF, we don't need that crap.
We don't need that. And so these guys are all like the, so the guy driving a plow truck is a totally different breed than the social worker.
Sure.
So the guy driving a plow truck, like he sweats, he's got to work.
Working.
You know, he's actually has to pass a test. To drive that plow truck, he needs to have like a class A. He needs to have like an air brakes endorsement. He needs to have this. He needs to like go get a physical every year to prove that like he can see good, that his blood pressure's okay, and he's like, you know, adequate. You know, just like all the, you know, commercial truck drivers. And those guys actually have insurance. The social workers don't have insurance, and they don't have to prove anything. All they need is credentials. And just like another woman I had, actually she was part of the Anarchapulco presentation that I had listened to. Rachel Vaughn is her name, and she is like big time into like, you know, fighting against the human trafficking and the child sex trafficking. And she's, you know, she contacted me right after she heard about this, you know, what's going on. And she just, you know, started kind of, you know, just, she sent me a lot of emails about a lot of stuff. But one of the things that, that she said is that the thing with government and DCYF is if you are a predator, the government doesn't care about your moral compass. They don't care what your values are. The only thing that they care about is what your credentials are, what stack of paperwork that you have, essentially, mm-hmm. in your, you know, in your, that you've attended this school and you went to this college and you're accredited to be a social worker. You took, you know, what, I don't even know what you take to be a social worker, or what, your early childhood development. Most, you know, from, the joke is that the social workers are all art students that couldn't get jobs, you know, teaching art at the public school. But anyways, so they don't care. So if you're a predator and you're a smart predator, what does a smart predator do if they're, when they're hunting their prey? That first off, they insulate themselves from any, you know, from getting hurt. So like the fox, when a fox is hunting the chickens, you know, or cats actually. So chickens are pretty easy to kill if you're a fox, but cats are a little trickier, but foxes get cats once in a while. Mm. But foxes, they lurk, they keep themselves insulated, they hide. So if you want to be in the predatory child trafficking business of, then there's all kinds of things that you can do from whatever, you know, just helping grab children, you know, we don't need to get into that, but
sure.
So just go to work for DCYF.
Yeah, they are protected.
They are desperate for employees. They don't care about your morals. Is there even an ethics test or a moral test that you got to take? Is there a psychopath test or a sociopath test to take? There probably is. Those tests probably exist, but government's not going to use them because
that's who they're looking for.
That's who they look for. So
that's who the jobs attract.
It attracts predators. And in the human, and a lot of people are like, oh, the women aren't predators. That's 100% BS.
Nonsense.
Rachel Vaughn went into about how, you know, so many of these predators that are involved in the child sex trafficking rings are women, because women are a much more stealth predator mm-hmm. than a man.
They're less likely to be suspected,
right.
All that.
And a lot of people trust women. And a lot of the women that are predators are women that don't have children, is what they were saying. So it's just ripe. And the fact that for generations now, and I don't know what year qualified immunity started happening in New Hampshire covering all state employees.
Good question.
That would be a really good one to come up with. And
because then when you propose to get rid of qualified immunity, you could just say, well, y'all didn't used to have it before 1936 or whatever it was. So the state still existed to that.
And if we take all the dollars since qualified immunity existed that the Department of Risk and Benefit, that's who pays out these claims when you sue the state, we take all those dollars and we start. You know, if it started in 1936 and we take all the dollars from 1937 that was paid out in settlements and then we adjust that to what it is today, you know, for...
It's probably way worse today.
You know, seasonal adjustment, let's do it like the same way they calculate unemployment.
Inflation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not the way really inflation, but they... So it's just, you know, well, you know, whatever a dollar is worth in 1940 is a totally different number than what it is right now.
Yep.
So to bring it into perspective, how much money is that? How much has that costed Granite Staters now for, you know, however long this qualified immunity lasts for? But what it does is it breeds a culture of people who are able to get away with whatever they want. So, I mean, the only reason Hunter Biden is you know, doing coke and crack and, pleasing himself on a camera and then putting it on some kind of porn site, and all this stuff, because those are things that he's done. And you know,
because he is
a generation. He is actually like a second or third generation protected class. I refer to these guys as the pedophile elite.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all of Jeffrey Epstein's friends, for example, who and Jeffrey Epstein and Mac. You know, so it's surprising that Maxwell got put away. But you have this whole client list of people that
she got sacrificed for some reason.
Right.
And that is the story that will probably never be told.
But true justice won't be served. The client list is, you know, they're not going after them. But meanwhile, they're going at, you know, and this whole thing with Trump, I just think is 100% so fake. But they're
what,
you know,
all the charges.
Yeah, just I mean, I just think it's a distraction, false flag.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's meant to cause divisiveness, and you know, I also think Trump's a team player in this, you know, WWF thing. You know,
he's an actor
with all these guys. Yeah, they're all actors, or you know, it's all a stage for these, you know, for all the politicians. And you know, the thing is, the only way you can make it to that level of politics, the only way you're becoming a president, the only way you're becoming a U.S. senator, is you got to have some skeletons in the closet. You got to be controlled, or they won't even let you.
What
you know,
do you
be
think
part
about just to change? I mean, related to that statement, what do you think about this guy in Argentina? We covered him last night. Have you seen any news about the Javier Milei, who is a purportedly an anarcho-capitalist, principled libertarian guy who actually won the primary election? It's not the general, it's not the final thing, but he won the primary. He got more votes in the primary than any of the other major candidates received. Do you think he's controlled opposition? Do you know anything about him?
I don't know anything about the guy. No, it's the first I'm hearing of it. Yeah. I've actually been really not really paying attention to much because it's either I'm working, sleeping, or working on this stuff here.
Right.
But yeah, it could be. But, you know, the thing is, too, is like... in America here with the whole voting thing, you know, we know the elections, you know, are probably rigged somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is I don't think that they're exactly rigged in the way people think they are. So a lot of people like of my persuasion sort of think, or not even my persuasion, but on the right think that, you know, they just gave Biden a bunch of votes and took a bunch away from Trump, which could happen, but that's probably not likely.
To me, the rigging is that you've got essentially controlled candidates on both sides,
and therefore,
whoever wins, everyone else loses.
So I believe that they are controlled candidates. I'm sure Trump's controlled. I'm sure Biden's controlled. Even this judge that was here today, I think he's controlled. I think he had to give my wife the 45-day suspended sentence and couldn't do a not guilty because of political reasons. And also...
Oh, and then you had the prosecutor claiming he's autonomous
and that he's
not taking orders from anyone. This was all his decision to go after your wife.
So it was a prosecutor's decision to spend, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars of taxpayer dollars on this frivolous charge that is going to go further and is going to cost the taxpayers another thousands and thousands of dollars to convene a jury trial, in a whole other courtroom and to... You know, subpoena, and then when we go to bring our claim and lawsuit against these guys, it's going to cost them all kinds of other money. I mean, the state of New Hampshire has already paid out, according to some numbers, and we haven't got this exact, and I could be wrong, but over $300 million in the past decade just on DCYF claims alone.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's more coming.
They're
stacked up right now because of the rape center that they had.
It doesn't even count the rape center that they had. Doesn't even count this Harmony Montgomery, who was a little girl that was just like, she's dead now.
Mm-hmm.
She would be 7 or 8 years old today, and she's dead because DCYF took her away from her loving mother and decided to give them to the drug addict, crackhead, you know, drug dealing father who basically somehow lost a kid. They always make the wrong mistake. And one reason.
And there's no liability for them.
They always make the wrong decision. And one reason, like, so a guy's name is Jeff Younger. He was on, if you do Jeff Younger Timcast, he was on about a year ago explaining how his ex-wife basically took the kid to California. Their kid, they're like 6, 7-year-old kid. He hasn't seen his kid in a couple of years. And the ex-wife is doing a transgender thing, and the kid's like, I don't want to be a girl, dad. Every time we talk to him, mom wants me to be a girl. California is like, basically, like, this is where a civil war is really going to start. Like, when you have a guy like Jeff Younger in Texas, and you know, and when the Texas governor says, no, that kid belongs back here, and decides to send the military into the Texas National Guard or whoever, a military, or Chuck Norris rounds up a posse to go get this kid out of California, you know, and it turns into some kind of stuff like that, you shouldn't be, you know, gender dysphoria is cured by going through puberty and just taking the time, not giving chemicals and chemically castrating and mentally manipulating, you know, prepubescent children is what's going on. So anyways, Jeff Younger points out, he's investigated this a lot. He points out that in child support cases, the courts always make the party that is the earner, usually has more money, pay the child support just about all of the time. So in a few times where it's a woman paying child support, which is like less than 2% of, you know, in Texas, it's usually she's like making way more money than the father. Right. And it always seems like it's the more responsible, you know, parent that is being forced to pay the child support. And the reason for that is because every dollar of child support that the state awards to whoever's getting mother or father, the state gets a kickback from the federal government of 66%. And this is in Texas, and best we can tell, this happens in every state in the country. We're actually, just one of these things, part of our investigation is figuring out those exact numbers here in New Hampshire. So the incentive is to make sure that because of the dollars coming in, the money that the state gets doesn't go to the state from the federal government. It goes to the judicial retirement fund or the judicial pension fund, which is another thing we've got to look into, is how is this judicial pension fund getting funding? Mm-hmm. So if the judicial pension fund, for example, gets a nickel from the federal government for this child endangerment, conviction, that's a massive, massive conflict of interest.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Because these guys all want their pensions built. They want their pensions stacked. That's, part of the reason that they're in the parasite class is because, they just want the most
sweet
money.
Retirement.
So anyways.
It's not about serving and protecting, which is this mythology that they want you to believe, because they don't act like servants. They act like masters.
Oh, yeah, very much so. So we have a massive problem here. We have, the courts are, as family court especially, is incentivized to make decisions based on how much money is going to get put into their pension fund, the judicial pension fund. And a judicial pension fund, I know, covers judges. I'm sure it covers all their staff. I'm sure it covers the clerks. I'm sure it covers the prosecutors. I'm sure it covers that secretary who was the Karen and, reported, in my wife's case. Mm-hmm. And all these people are drawing their money from the same pension fund. There's probably a good chance that, some of this money even gets kicked somehow to the local police departments. And even there's a whole course at Granite State University, which I will be getting more information on this very soon, that it basically is a course on how to maximize revenue for DCYF. And because DCYF gets money from the federal government for, like, when they complete an assessment, when they go into somebody's house, when they steal a kid, when they give the kid to adopt a kid out to a family.
All the more reason to peacefully secede from the United States.
Yes, we
break those bonds.
We got a lot of elements to work with here. And basically an awareness campaign is really what needs to happen. Taxpayers are so fed up of working hard and their dollars being wasted, and we need to make it easy to communicate this to the legislature, to where the citizens need to push the legislature here in New Hampshire to just stop with all this wasteful nonsense.
The number is 603-283-6160. Of course, the government bureaucrats are going to push back hard because, again, their pensions are on the line, their jobs are on the line, and they are not going to be happy that it's being challenged. There's more coming up here. You can join the show. Hour number two is on the way. 603-283-6160 is our number. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.